When will I come and see the Pnei Elokim? Rashi, La'alois L'Regel. Okay, so here Rashi is learning these psukim very, very intensely in reference to the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. La'alois L'Regel, V'nisnabi kan al chubin abayis, V'ne'mar kan, over here this nevuah is in reference to the Chubin HaMikdash, V'ne'mar kan says over here, Ma tishtachachi shalosh po'amim. In this mizma, we have over here three times the expression "Ma tishtachachi." Okay, in this mizmar, what is it? The literal translation of "Ma tishtachachi"? It's to bend down. Well, it means
According to here, it says, "Why are you downcast?"
Downcast. Why are you? Why the Dov is questioning himself? Why should you be upset? Don't be upset. Don't be upset. You have to have hope in Hashem. You have to have. Manu l'tov avid. Kol ma, whatever Hashem does is for good. Gamzu l'tova. Ma tishtachachi nafshi. Why is my neshama downtrodden? Why is it bent over? Why is it depressed? So this expression appears three times in this mizmah. So Rashi over here says, "La'alos regel, nisnabi kan al chur nabayis, v'nemar kan matish techachi sholosh pamim, k'neged sholosh malchuyos hasidus levatel avodas hamikdash, v'yisrael tzayakim v'negolim, malchus bovel v'yavon vedem." Amazing Rashi. Rashi says this entire mizmah is a prophecy regarding galus in its entirety. Galus in its entirety is captured with the dalid malchuyos. And Michal is one of the biggest experts in the Dalai Malchus. He's one of the only people who wrote a sefer. There's a very, very, almost no sefarim out there that deal exclusively with the topic of the Dalid Malchus. And Michal has collected 60 Mamor Chazal that deal with Dalai Malchus, and he has elaborated and deciphered, expounded upon the 60 different places that he has collected in Chazal that deal with the Dalit Malchus. I'm sure your second edition must be in motion, Amchol. You probably have a lot more by now. A lot more than 60. But you have...
It's 60 themes. There are a lot more.
There are a lot. Okay. 60 themes of Dalit Malchus. So we hear Rashi touched upon this. Rashi says, Rashi talks about the Dalit Malchus. The first... we know it was Bavel, and then now Paras Umoday. It is very interesting that Rashi does not cite Paras Umoday, because Paras Umoday also was Mevatel the Beis Hamikdash. They were not Mevatel the Beis Hamikdash in the sense that the Mikdash was functioning, and then they destroyed it, but they prevented it from proceeding. Koresh gave permission to Klal Yisrael to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, and things were moving along very nicely. And he even gave them, returned some of the kelim, and gave them a very large donation. And then Paras Umoday with Haman and Achashverosh, they issued a stop order. So they canceled it.
I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
Yeah?
I don't know what these three items have that the other doesn't.
Paras Umoday. Because Paras Umoday, there was no Beis HaMikdash. It was not functional. There was no functional Beis HaMikdash. All they did was they prevented it from proceeding. They were rebuilding. They were in the process of rebuilding. And they stopped. They delayed. They delayed the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. That's
what Rashi therefore is saying, that who stopped the functioning of the Beis HaMikdash?
Right, who stopped the base was actually
the
Kabbalists. Exactly, right. So if you want to argue, you would say that Paras Umoday, they also stopped the function of the base in this respect, that they prevented
it.
Okay.
But Bavel had already done.
They extended the Bavel's Churban.
And yet, during their dominion
reign,
we had.
During who?
During Ezra's time.
During Paras Umoday. During the time of Paras Umoday, they came back. It's left out. For some reason, it's left out.
It's not clear.
Kineged Sholosh Malchus was Sidus Lavatal of the Sun Riddish, we show the Tsaikim with the Golem and the Klarian and redeemed. Who are the three? Malchus Bovel, Kain Nebuchadnezzar, Yavon basically put an end to the Beis HaMikdash. It was for 52 years. It's Chazal said approximately 50, maybe more. During this period of time, there was no, the Mikdash was not functioning.
No, it was at the beginning, but at a certain point, it was interrupted and defiled.
By the Yavon, they had demolished the Mizbeach.
Not throughout the Greek occupation.
Right. Greek occupation was 180 years. The Greek occupation was 180 years, and during that 180 years, it got to a climax where they actually shut it down. It was defiled, like you said, and they were worshipping on the Mizbech idols, and when the Chashman finally, they had actually demolished the Mizbech and rebuilt it. Oz, Egmar, Bashir, Bismar, Chanukas HaMizbeach. Okay, but here Rashi mentions these three specifically, and Rashi says that's why it says three times Ma Tishtachachi, do not be depressed over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Tzomenavshi Kineses Yisrael Emeris Kain Begolus Bavel, the Jewish people during the time of Golus. Now he's saying over here Davka Begolus Bavel. I guess over here he's trying to be according to Rashi. You read between the lines. He's taking up this Mizmar, and this Mizmar is world history. Being that it says it three times, the first time corresponds to Babel, the second time corresponds to Yavon, the third time corresponds to Edom, and if you study the language, you will see a relationship between the time period, the era, and the words, the vocabulary. So this first mention, which we didn't get to yet, it's in Pasuk, Pasuk Vav, okay, we didn't get to it yet, is discussing Babel. And then we'll be Yavon and Edom. I mean, right now we're starting to discuss Babel. Samanavshi, Kines Yisrael, and Meres came because of Babel. During those 70 years, the Jewish people expressed their yearning for the rebuilding of the base, HaMikdash, with the term of thirst. Pasuk Dalit, Haisli Demasi Lechem, Mikan Shatzara Masbas Es Adam Be'in Mavakesh Lechem. A person who has a tzara, what does it do? Masbas Es Adam. The person is satisfied, okay, and he doesn't want to eat, he has no desire to eat. We said this, like we explained, we saw this in the Mitzvot David, that we explained it doesn't just mean that Chana, she wasn't in the mood. She wasn't in the mood to go eat. It means that no, she had no need to eat. The tears actually sustained her, and it was not necessary. V'loy soichal. Twice a year we don't eat. Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. There's a famous saying that on Tisha B'Av, on Tisha B'Av, how could you eat? On Yom Kippur, you don't need, there's no need to eat. It's a different reason why you do not eat. How could you eat? There's a Churban Beis HaMikdash. How could you even think of eating? On Yom Kippur, what do we say? On Yom Kippur, there is no need to. We're malachi hasharis. That's very common. Over here, this Rashi tells us a whole different principle, is that when a person cries, when there are tears, the tears, that satiates a person. It's as if he has eaten. It's not, there's no need, or how could you eat? That's the classic drush. Rashi is saying is, no, it's as if you have already eaten. On Tisha B'Av, crying because of the churban, sadness. On Yom Kippur, it's a different type of crying. It's a crying of teshuva. And the tears themselves are the equivalent of eating. Pasuk Hey Eila Eskira. Ki avar basach. So over here we discussed this a little bit at least two last 2 days, the word sach. So Michal, we have over here a French word. What does this word mean? Well, basach.
The old version is je passe. It means I would pass.
Ki avar. So he's the French word is translating the word avar. Okay, the French word is not translating the word sach. Pass. Okay, I would pass. Eila Ezkira, the famous words that we say for the Asara Gemalchus and It's name of some svarim that describe the horrors of Churbin. And what are we coming? Es zois ani zocheres. This is what I recall. The nafshim mishtapeches, and my neshama pours out. The Mitzuda says, my neshama, almost Kemat says the words, I'm suicidal. My neshama is a desire to leave the guf. B'zachri, when I remember, what is it that caused me enormous pain? When I remember the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. It's a very incredible pasuk in Rashi, is that when you think about what are we missing, Bizman Hazeh. We discussed this little 2 days ago. The average person will say, what are we missing, Bizman Hazeh? We're missing the Shechina, we're missing Korbanos, we're missing... You know, there are many things a person would say to describe what are we missing. And along comes this pasuk and says, what you're missing is Aliyah, the trip, the excitement of going to the airport, waiting online, going through security, getting on the plane, and waiting for them to serve you lunch. Your airline dinner. The excitement. And what movie is there to watch? Right, Reisman always goes to town on this. He says, our ancestors, what they did to be Moisir Nefesh, to go to Eretz Yisrael, and here it's so easy. Why do you have to watch television? Why do you have to watch a movie? Okay, usually it's not a very kosher movie. You can't wait a few minutes. You can't wait a little bit. At least be Moisir Nefesh, at least in public. So as Zoyes and Zecheres and Avshim Sabechs and Zoch B'Zocher, and I remember Aliyah Sarogol Moshal Yisi Averis B'Gududei B'Nei Adam, I remember Aliyah L'Regel, when I travel B'Gududei B'Nei Adam, with a tattered, with Gududei, which means like troops, large numbers of people. The next time you're in the airport, you're waiting online to go to Eretz Yisrael, think about this Rashi. This is it. When you zoichet to this, you're reliving the experience of Aliyah L'Regel. It's unbelievable. I remember the Gedudei B'nei Adam U'medadei Imam. I would totter with them in a long line. We'd move along to go to Eretz Yisrael at Beis Elokim until we would come until the Beis Hamikdash Aliyah L'Regel. Now, Rashi goes back and he translates this very difficult word, soch. Because over here, a lot of Mepharshim have different translations. So Rashi says, When I traveled, Eilezgra Veshwalai Nafshi Ki Evar Basoch. What does that word mean, Basoch? So someone here before said it means Schach. It means shelter, like Schach.
It seems like he says, I'm walking a Seder. Nobody should see me. I'll go by myself quietly. Ki Evar Basach is a den. I'll pay the Elohim. Now it's the whole terrain, the whole big thing. But he said, I have problems, so that's why I don't march. I just walk.
Walk slowly, but he's recalling. Eila Eskra, I'm recalling. The Eshbecha Alay Nafshi, and the memories cause me tsar. Now, it seems he's describing the memory. What is the memory? I hear you're saying that it's the present tense. Rav Kalman is saying a drush, that the pasuk should be interpreted what I'm going to do now. But let's see, according to Rashi, it appears that he's describing the memory. What is the memory of the past? I remember when I would pass, I would travel with multitudes of people to the Beis Elokim, and he describes how he traveled. When I traveled, there are two words in that description, Basoch and Edadeh. So Edadeh means to totter. Edadeh means to wobble along. You have
it's probably from Novinod.
Novinod? Where's the word Novinod to the word Edadeh?
With a nun drop, I'm going to get it.
The nun is missing. Okay, let's see. What does it mean, Basoch? So this is subject to a big machloikis in the Mepharshim. First, Rashi says, Soch l'shoin cheshboin. Rashi's first interpretation is, Soch means calculation. Soch l'shoin mechitzas b'nei adam. Now, what? How does the word? Is Rashi saying the same? He's coming. He's saying the same thing. It's very different.
What he means is that how many people he was with, large numbers of people.
So it's okay. He's saying it's multitudes. Soch means sach hakol, right? Sach hakol. When you make a calculation, when you write it in the nusach of the ksuba, How much money is the chassan giving? It's the sum. The chassan is giving 200 meyas zakukin. Sach hakol v'hoisef oid midilei oid meya ketsef zakukin. Sach hakol whatever 200 meyas zakukin. Masayim meyas zakukin. Sach means the sum, a calculation. So here it's a borrowed term, which means when there are many, many people, automatically you have like a mechitza. It appears from to an observer that you can't penetrate this location because there are so many people standing here. Soch l'shoin mechitzas b'nei adam. It also means like a mechitza, schach. Schach is a barrier, it's a shelter. It is mechitzas b'nei adam. Then he says, tzach l'shoin tzabim. Tzach means, tzabim means, it means covered. Wagons that have a shelter. The egloi sov, tzabim means again sheltered. The egloi sov, there are flat bed trucks. And then there are trucks that are sheltered, that are 18 wheelers, that, you know, they're covered. The egloi sov, shayim chupois kemin sukkah. The Nesiim, they made a donation to the Mishkan by donating wagons that were covered in order to shelter
covered
wagons to shelter the Krushim, that the Krushim, when they travel in the desert, the Krushim should not be exposed to the elements. It should be covered. It should be tznius, because the truth was, in the desert they went in the Anani HaKavod. And we assumed that there was no need, everything was taken care of. But I guess as a matter of tzinius, that it should not be exposed. The Mishkan was holy, and it should not be exposed. It should be kol kavuda bas melech penima. They donated for the Mishkan wagons that had special covering. Nothing should be exposed. So Rashi has given us how many perushim? Sach l'shoyim mechit. First he says it means a calculation. Sach hakol. Meo kesev skukin. On page 382, pasuk hey. Page 382, Mizmor Membeis, pasuk hey. Sach means a calculation. Sach hakol. Second perush. Sach is a schach. And sukkos, it means a mechitza. Number three, sach means covered. Covered, I mean, I guess you say a mechitza. Mechitza would mean a vertical.
You know, the second one.
Yeah.
Here, it's an expression of a human barrier.
When many people, like on Shabbos. If you want to bring this halacha in Shulchan Aruch, if you want to bring a Sefer Torah to a shul, let's say in your shul, the Sefer Torah is possible, or you don't have a Sefer Torah, and you want to bring a Sefer Torah from one shul to the next, so you can't go carrying in the street. So the halacha is that you can make a mechitza shel anoshim. Everyone in the shul goes outside, and you have a large, massive number, but they all stand together. So you create a mechitza shel anoshim. It's now a rishus hayachid, because you've closed off the area, and then you can carry from one rishus to another rishus. Not so fast. It's a very complicated halacha. Some say you only can make a mechitza shel anoshim only when it happens by itself. You're not allowed to deliberately tell people to stand in a certain location to make a mechitza. But let's say it happens to be that a person is walking and there are throngs of people and they're all pushing and they're all crowded around something, and it happens to be that they're all standing there. Then, b'di'eved, there's a mechitza shel anoshim on Shabbos. You can carry from one location. It becomes a rishus hayochid inside. Okay, this is such a principle. So sach over here means the Mechob is saying it's a barrier, a partition of people, which is a vertical mechitza. Then he says sach l'shon tzabim, which is a horizontal mechitza, like wagons. Tzabim v'yagolos v'eglos sach shayim mechupin mechupois kemin sukkah. U'shmom l'shon agada, and the name of these wagons is called l'shon agada, sekaf setiois v'isku piti. Okay, these are certain types of wagons.
This morning, the Medrash I was learning, that the English itself, there was a whole page footnote on these terms and the variants, trying to sort out which are the correct variants of this Greek term.
These two words, these are Greek words?
There are more than two versions of it.
Of what these wagons were?
Greek words, basically.
Egloi saw. By the way, someone that when Yaakov Avinu, most of us are familiar, when Yaakov Avinu was, Yosef was the last time Yaakov saw Yosef before he was sold for 22 years, what were they learning? They're learning Egel Arufa. So there's a really machlekes rishonim. What does that mean? They were learning. Yaakov sent Agolos. After finally he met, after 22 years when he revealed himself to his brothers, so Yaakov sent back to his father Agolos. Why did he send Agolos? So it's a machlekes. We are familiar with the more common parish. Maybe Rashi. I don't remember. Maybe Rashi says it because the last thing they were learning before they departed was the sugya of Egel Arufa. When the person is found dead in between two cities and you do not know who killed him, so you have to count, you have to measure to the closest city, and that and the zikhanim of the closest city have to bring in Egel Arufa. But other Rishonim, maybe it's the Gemara, maybe it's the Medrash, I don't remember exactly.
That does come from the Medrash.
But there's another Medrash that says the last thing that they were learning were the Egelois Tzav. They were learning about the Mishkan, that would one day be built. It's a little bit difficult because it didn't happen yet, but they were learning about the Mishkan. They were learning that the day would come that when they would travel with the Mishkan, the Nesiim would dedicate, would donate wagons, Egelois Tzav, to six Egelois Tzav for the transport of the Mishkan. That is what they were learning.
A turtle,
because it's a big shell. It's covered with a massive shell. It's covered. It's a little creature that is covered with something very significant. What does that mean?
Batsabim.
Of two kinds of wagons. So the obviously this principle of tzabim is something very significant, because if the Nesiim, by the way, it was six. Six. Tzav is a turtle. One of the Shmona Shratzim, correct. And if the Nesiim donated these wagons, two Nesiim together donated one wagon. Why couldn't each one donate their own wagon? Why was it necessary for them to team up and only donate exact six wagons? Whatever the really is, there's obviously something very, very significant about the Egelois Tzav. And according to what he's saying over here, is that over here we're describing that when we traveled Aliyah LeRegel, we also traveled in wagon, in some type of vehicle that here it's called in this context, it's called Soch, but the word Soch is the equivalent of the Mishkan traveling in the desert in a wagon, Egelois Tzav. Because think about it, because in the desert, when the Mishkan traveled, there was also a form of Aliyah LeRegel. The Mishkan was traveling to its ultimate destination. When we travel three times a year to the Beis HaMikdash, we're also traveling to our destination, a destination of holiness. It's the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will seek out to rest his divine presence permanently. And the word, it's a wagon that is, it was, and the vehicle was Egloisov, and we also are imitating that to a certain degree when we do Aliyah LeRegel, and it's not a coincidence that we do so in vehicles that are covered, Basoch. Okay, so Rashi over here.
Two things about the Aglarufa, why it was that important here, because the whole story of Aglarufa, they sent him without Levaya. So
live to escort him.
To tell him because he felt guilty all those years. Why did I send yourself?
Why did not escort him?
So he says, look, Abba, don't worry. It's not your fault. So that's why he sent him. That's how Abba
explained. Bedavka Egel Arufa. Egel Arufa is the Levaya. Ikra Egel Arufa is escorting. Is escorting the person. Wait one second over here. Oh, I made a big mistake over here. I turned on the wrong channel. I was wondering why no one came. Yeah, just give me one second. I don't want to disenfranchise anyone. All right, take a second over here. All right, so this is an interesting. Obviously, Rashi here is very, very disturbed. What exactly is the meaning of this word, the eglois, the word soch? And Rashi has given us sacha kolim with four perushim.
And
number one,
is it not that the other world and the them has two meanings.
And yeah,
I am going to walk. It's kind of walking.
Yeah.
And also, I am going to go quietly, but you don't. I'm not going to say a word all the way.
Okay.
Eglois,
right, calmly say there are a lot of things going on over here. Review, what are the meanings of the word? Sach is, number one, is a cheshbon. Number two, it's a mechitzas b'nei adam. Number three, it's covered wagons. Three perushim as to what this word means. Adadeim, next words of Rashi, adadeim mohem. Rashi says that David HaMelech would travel with them. In other words, David did not go in his own entourage. Okay, today when a head of state travels, they travel in their own vehicle, and they have a whole collection of vehicles, the security. David, he walked together with the people. He walked besoich ami anochi yoshaves.
Anonymous.
He walked together with the adadei imochem. Kamo, can you imagine
that
a head? I walk with you.
All these years, I'm traveling on my own animal.
Oh my God, yeah, but what are you saying? He traveled together with the people. He didn't. David HaMelech, he went on the light rail. He went to the airport. He went El Al. He sat economy with all the other people. He didn't sit for business class. He got off. He went through the same customs like everyone else. And he got on the same light rail, and he traveled to Yerushalayim just like everyone else. Nothing special, no special treatment to show that he's one of the people. That's what it says over here. Adadeim, adadei mohem. He didn't fly on a private jet and all of these things you hear about today. Kimoy midadim agolim usyachim, like it says, like midadim agolim usyachim v'isha midadim esbina. He's giving you example of the word midadim. The word midadim means, and in English it's to tatter. Is that the correct translation? To tatter. It means to move along. To move along as a group. As a group, agolim usyachim, different types of calves and a syach. Animals, different animals. Isha midades, you know, a woman, you have to see a child, a woman on Shabbos, and you don't want to carry the child, and you drag the kid with you. Midadeh, the kid limps along, you take a little toddler, and you hold his hand, and you walk slowly with the child. V'teiv zu mishameshesh kishtei sevois adadeh imohem. When it says here in the Pasuk, when it says adadeim, it's a composite of two words. Adadeh imohem. I would move along with them. What is this one over here?
Yeah. Ete amut samla. Now, samla is like an ensemble. So it means to move together.
To move together. Umenachem chibroi l'shon yididus. A whole new translation of the word adadim. It does not mean over here to tatter. It means love. Yididus. Love. Friendship. Kimo nosati es yididus nafshi b'chaf oivecha. I've given yididus nafshi, the love of my neshama in the hand of your of oyveha, oyveha of her enemy. Okay, so in this pasuk it means yididus, means friendship, friendship. So it says that David HaMelech, what you're saying is that I traveled. We go back to the pasuk. Get back to the pasuk. The eshvanav alay navshi ki evor basoch. When I traveled basoch edadeim. So I'm not sure how you put the two words together. When I traveled with love, with yididus, I traveled maybe in covered wagons, edadeim, with yididus. I'm not sure. Yeah.
It's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, right?
Yeah.
It seems that Hashem is saying, I have delivered my soul's yididim into the hand of her enemies.
So what does that mean in that pasuk? What it means there does not necessarily what it means over here. Here, there means, it means I've...
It's a different attempt to relate the word to Yedidus.
Right, I've given the one that I love very much, I've given over my precious friend, I've given over to her enemy. I've allowed the enemy to conquer her, because they're not behaving. Because the Klal Yisrael have done Averis, I've allowed the enemy to conquer my beloved. my beloved. So here it says, over here it says, we traveled basoch, basoch edadim. I don't know exactly what he means to say, but he means something along the lines that we traveled with friendship. We all traveled together as one big chevra. Okay, as we all, there's a certain friendship that is that goes on between your own people. When you're going El Al and everyone the plane is from, you know, so there's a certain chevra shaft that's on that takes place when everyone is looking out for the other to a degree. The Dunash, we have over here the third member of the team, Rashi, Menachem and Dunash, Unach Pasa, Adadim, Loshon Demama, silence. Rabbi Chol, you mentioned this, Yidoim Aroin, V'chein Doim LaHashem V'Hischelob, quiet, silence, and let Hashem, He, and hope in Hashem. U'pishoin Adadim Aleim, what does this mean? What does it mean over here in this context? The interpretation is, I will be silent, like an Elaim, a deaf mute, V'achadish, Ad Avoy Beis Elokim Berina, I will be quiet, I will not say a word until I reach my destination, and then I will break forth in joy. K'moy eshmera l'fi machsoim, I will keep my mouth shut. I will keep my mouth shut, but oid rosho l'negdi. So he's saying over here is, another example, v'ani k'chevesh loy eshma, I made myself like a deaf mute that does not hear. U'chi'ilem lo yiftach piv, V'dom hu shorish bateva, the dal in the mem is part of the root vayidoim. Adadim ohem, k'mo v'lo yochlu darbo, he's over here, he's getting over here, other perushim. Adadim, adadim ohem, I will tatter with them, k'mo v'lo yochlu darbo lishloim, daber imo lishalom. I think in this interpretation, we mean things of dibur. V'lo yochlu darbo lishloim. Daber imo lishalom.
How did it get from walking?
There are different translations. Over here he's trying to present us the complexity of this word. It's an unusual word. The way it's used in this pasuk is very unusual, and therefore it opens itself up to multiple interpretations. So let's review the basic interpretation we've learned over here. This came in a moment. But right now, but basically, what we learn over here is we have over here two words, and it's very complicated to put these two words together to match them up, because each word itself has many translations. We learned the word soch can mean three things. It means a calculation, or it means a mechitza shel anoshim, a vertical mechitza of people, or it means covered wagons. Then the word edadim means to travel with them, to totter, to move along slowly with them, or the word edadim has lashon of yididus. There's a degree of friendship and love. There's an expression of love taking place, yearning, when we go and we travel to the Beis HaMikdash. Another interpretation is, I'm going to be quiet. When I travel, I'm going to be quiet. Now this would be ad Beis HaLakim, which basically means that in Golos, until we finally have a Beis HaMikdash, we are subject to our host, the Umay Soilam, and they don't like us, and we have to watch our back and keep our mouths quiet. We can't complain. If we're going to open up our mouths and start complaining, who knows what they're going to do to us? When you learn the word to be quiet, by Yidim Aaron, this takes the pasuk and really describes in the big picture of things that while we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, while we are traveling in time, yearning for the Geula, and we travel until the Beis HaMikdash will be restored during the times of Golis, Golis Bavel, and the Golis of Yavon, and the Golis of Edom, during these, as Rashi began in the beginning, and we're waiting during this period of time in Golis, and we're waiting for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, and we are traveling in time, it would be wise for us to keep a low profile, to keep our mouths shut, and just don't make noise, and be quiet, Vayidoim Aaron, until the revelation, Hishpati eschem benodus Yerushalayim im te'iru v'im tis'oiru es ha'ahava ad she'techbats. Okay, that's the Shalosh Shavuos. What does it mean? How do you learn the Shalosh Shavuos? We took a shvu that we're not going, there are only 100 perushim, but what that means, the end of the Gemara Masechta Kesubas. Daf Yom, we learned this only a few weeks ago. What does that mean exactly? Everyone has to agree to some degrees that while we are in Golis, we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful and not overstep the tolerance that the goyim have for us, because if we provoke them too much, who knows, the Mashiach is not here yet. And that's why Klal Yisrael historically has been walking a very, very very, very careful. You know, he's like we always say that Netanyahu says what are the role of the Prime Minister of Israel? Besides, the real role is the security of Klal Yisrael, but the secondary role of the Prime Minister of Israel is to keep the President of the United States happy. To make sure that he's happy. Don't anger him. Keep him happy. The balance of power in this world is very, very delicate. We're surrounded by enemies, and we have to walk a tightrope, a very difficult tightrope, and not to make too much noise. If you make too much noise, you can unleash some very ugly elements in this world. And that's what it says over here. We're traveling over here in the three different examples of Golus Bavel, Golus Yavon, and Golus Edom that we're in now. And we are traveling. We're traveling. We're waiting until we'll reach the destination of the Beis Elokim. And during that time, Rashi here in his last parish says, Adadim, I have to be quiet. I have to watch what comes out of my mouth. I have to keep a low profile, not to provoke the wrath of the Umay So'ilam until Mashiach comes.
By the way, it's very funny. Ibn Ezra brings this perush in the name of Ben Labrat, which is Dunash, Ben Labrat.
Yeah.
So much, and Edom, Milashon, Lishtok, Lidom. And Ibn Ezra says, Umi Yiten V'Yidom.
If only
he talks about Ben Labrat.
Dunash.
He should be quiet and not say anything.
What are you saying? What are you saying? Who? I don't agree. They should be quiet. I mean, you're saying a little bit of like a tongue in cheek that I don't like what you're saying. So.
Only if you, Mefarshim, my Chavedim,
Rashi and Menachem, if only you would be quiet and listen to what I have to say. I know the correct interpretation. Now, just thinking aloud with you that over here, when it says we learned over here, the first Rashi over here does something very unusual. He says over here three perushim words, soch, calculation, mechitah shebnei adam, and covered wagons. Obviously, Rashi is saying that when you go to the next word, edadim, and as Rashi gave us multiple perushim of what those words, you have to match up the one translation, the word soch, with the word edadim. Now notice Rashi's last interpretation, okay, he says it means just the opposite, it means dibur. On the last line of Rashi, Rashi says edadim, adadimohem, and then kemo v'lo yochlu, Yochalu dabiro lishalom. Yosef was unable to speak to his brothers in peace. Daber imo lishalom. So it seems that he's telling us over here the word e dadem is a composite of daber shalom. The mem is the last syllable of shalom, and the dalid represents daber. And adaber imo lishalom. That's what he seems to be saying. Now take that together with the word basoch, which means cheshbon, and what it would seem to be saying is that ki evor, as I would pass in time and wait until we come to the moment ad beis elokim, and we deal with the umay so'ilam, we have to speak to them in peace, in a calculated way. Soch means in Rashi's first interpretation cheshboin, and adadem daber imo lishalom. You have to communicate with your environment, with the umay so'ilam, with calculation, to communicate in a calculated way. Sometimes it's proper to get up. Yes, that sometimes it's the right thing to get up in the United Nations. What?
These last explanations are not Rashi's, but okay, listen.
Adadim is daber imo lishalom. When Netanyahu came and he spoke in Congress, in the Senate, remember that? Right, when Obama was the president? So he spoke, if you listen very carefully to his speech, every single word was measured. Because mitzad echad, Israel is dependent upon the goodwill of the United States and they have enormous influence in the Middle East. Mitzad Sheni, they have to show their independence. We have to take care of ourselves. You have to take care of yourself. So you're walking. So here he is. Mm-hmm. Obama didn't even come. Obama. He insulted Netanyahu. He didn't come. He didn't come to the session. Didn't even listen. He insulted him. And the other hand, there was enormous support in the Senate. And he's speaking to the Senate, and the President of the United States didn't show up, and he made nothing out of it. You're really walking on a tightrope. Every word that came out of his mouth was highly calculated. You're speaking in peace, ledaber imo bisholoim, with calculated, measured words, just enough to show your independence and to promote your needs, mitzad sheni, not to provoke the anger of any important person that can result in rachman litzlan, in sakana. So there is basoch, with calculation, with words that are measured, edadeim, I will speak to the nations of the world, I will speak to them in peace. Again, with calculation, edadeim, I will be medaber imam bisholoim. Combine Rashi's first interpretation, ades elokim soch l'shoin cheshboin, with Rashi's last translation of the word edadeim, which is a composite of three or few words, adaber imo l'sholoim, and that means, be very, very careful what you say to the host nation that you live in during the period of time when we are waiting patiently for redemption, for the geula. This mizmar, as we started off, as Rashi made it very clear, is a mizmar that describes Klal Yisrael in the era, in the tekufa of Golus, waiting for Mashiach to come, waiting for the geula. And during that time, we have to be very careful how we conduct ourselves dealing with our host. Okay, election day was yesterday. Okay, so no, it's not a joke. This is a very, very serious thing. People, before the shir started, we were talking over here, is let's say you know 100% you're going to lose. This is a very big old debate. Let's say you would know. Yesterday, no one knew. But let's say, arguments like, you would know for a fact that you're the candidate that you really want is going to lose. Is it still appropriate for you to publicly go out there and encourage everyone that you know to vote for the candidate that's going to lose? Because the candidate that's going to win, his hashkafa is antithetical to Kol HaTorah Kula. What is the proper approach? Or do you say no? We're going to need to come on to him when he wins. We're going to need all the money that they're going to have to offer. So we might as well make believe and just kiss up to the one that's going to win. How do you do that? What is the proper approach? Okay, then the old debate, this hasn't been spoken about, the old debate, let's say you have a candidate that's very, very good for us, but he's morally corrupt. This is an old debate that went on for generations. Yeah. Morally corrupt, a menuvel, mitzad shein, but his party and his agenda is in line with our needs. Mitzad shein, the other candidate, is a very good person, is a family man, and as alamailis, but his policies are lethal to what we need. Who do you vote for? This is a very, very controversial topic. That was a very controversial topic. Now we have bigger problems than that. Unfortunately, we have bigger problems. How do you do? Okay, in Hanami, you have to know what to do. No, it's very complicated. But these words over here, I believe these words over here capture the dilemma. Capture the dilemma. Evar basoch ki evar, when I would evar, as we are travelers in time, waiting until we come to Ades Elokim, during this time we have to be calculated in our communication to our host country. Basoch, with calculation, with measure, edadeim, we daber imo l'shalom, do we speak with our host country peacefully? Has to be peaceful, but it has to be calculated. We have to know what we're doing. And to have the siyata d'shamayim to know what to do really is a blessing to have Jewish leaders who have, you know, the knowledge, the Ruach HaKodesh, to tell us what to do. That is something that we really are desperate for. All right, now let's. So we've gone through over here many perushim from the Rashi. It's very, very fascinating. Well, the other perush was, we said, just to go back and review, is that during this time period, better be quiet. Basoch edadim. We cover now. Also, we can interpret this in another way. Homiletically, is basoch means covered wagons. We're travelers in time. We're waiting for Mashiach to come. So some people will argue, you know, everything is a matter of interpretation and opinion, is keep a low profile, cover yourself, hide yourself. When you walk in the street, don't even wear a yarmulke, don't even wear a head covering. There are many Jews that held like that. Is that you use secular names? Don't reveal that you're Jewish. You should completely conceal your identity because you're just going to provoke their hate. You should basoch. Jewish history, dealing with 2,000 years of Golus and Golus Edom, every type of situation has existed. The different parts of the world, different tekufas. And basoch, what does basoch mean? What? Ein ester magedes es molatata. The anosim. Hester, v'anochi haster aster pana. Magedes molato yes amo. Okay, the anosim. We don't call them the Muranos. That's not a nice word. Murano means pigs. We call them the Anosim. So some, we once spent a lot of time on this, that some learned that the reason why we fast Tainis Esther, why do we fast Tainis Esther? There are a whole host of reasons. And some learned the reason why we fast Tainis Esther, it's a day of tribute or a day of tefillah for the Anosim. The people, the first Anos, the first person that was a Jew in hiding to light candles Friday night in your basement. And on the outside, you know, the Inquisition, they would find that a person was a Jew, secretly in hiding, was practicing Judaism. They would be tortured to death in ways that the imagination can't even predict. The torture chambers, what they did to Jews that they caught during the Inquisition, the Inquisition is still going on. It's unbelievable. The Inquisition is unreal. But yet there were Jews that were moiser nefesh to hide their identity and to practice Judaism in hiding. Who was the first person to do something like this on a grand scale? Esther. Ein Esther Magedes es Moladata v'yesama. Esther was a Jew in hiding. And in the Spanish, in 1492... it was the height of the Spanish Inquisition, and Jews were in hiding. And in tribute to the Jews that are in hiding and to pray for them that they should survive, we have a Tainis. The Tainis is Erev Purim. Because Esther is the poster child for all of those Jews who suffered greatly in hiding. Ein Esther Magedes es Miladata. It's Tainis Esther. It's not the Tainis Purim. It's not the Tainis of the Milchama. Okay, it's not the 3 days that she fasted. She fasted. When did Esther fast for 3 days? She fasted Pesach. She fasted in Chodesh Nisan. So what does fasting Erev Purim have to do with anything? Okay, there are many, many Perushim, but that's one of the very fascinating Perushim has to explain why there is something called a Tainis Esther. And here, if you want to take some of the Perushim, what it says in this Rashi, Basoch means when you travel in a covered wagon. Don't be like Kennedy. Don't travel in an open limousine. Hide yourself. Hide yourself with tinted windows. No one should know you're a Jew. When you travel throughout Golis, conceal yourself. Don't practice Judaism in public. Adadim, Rashi's first parish, Lashna Vayidoim Aroin. Quiet. Don't let people know you're Jewish. Don't go in other countries. We live in America. America's a whole different country. You wouldn't go put a menorah in your window. Uvishas hasakana, Hanukkah candles, yoniach al shulchanoi v'dayoi. Where do you light Hanukkah candles? You light not by the door. You wouldn't dare do that. You don't even put it in the window. Uvishas hasakana, yaniach, you put your Hanukkah candles on your dining room table v'dayoi. Okay, the Tinker of Zechet Tzadik Livracha. That's what he did in America. He was an old timer. He passed away many years ago. So my neighbor across the street, of Gershon Ginsburg, he moved now to Lawrence. But he was a Talmud muvak, like a kid, like a mamash child by the Tengarov. And he told me many of his minhagim. And he told me until his last day, his dying day, Chanukah, where did the Tengarov light Chanukah candles? On the dining room table.
Yes.
Not by the window, not outside. See, in America, you see people, they have the glass cases they put there, their $5,000 menorah outside on the steps, and they light outside. No, you don't light outside, you don't light by the window, you close the window shades quietly, you light on your dining room table. He was living with the pachat, he was still living with what happened to him, the terror of the Holocaust. Uvishas ha-sakona maniach al shulchonoi vidayoi. When you travel in Golus, basoch, cover yourself, hide. E dadeim, miloshon vayidoim aroin. Quiet, conceal yourself, don't make any noise. Until the time comes, beis Elokim. Now, Rashi says many other perushim. Because obviously in America, that's not the way we do things in America. In America, it's a different type of country, different type of government. We have freedom of religion and...
Theoretically,
correct, theoretically. And
the Times this Sunday, they had an article on the what's going on in the colleges with anti-Semitism. And they showed applications and various things, how they were all... This started with Stanford now, but they went back to Harvard and Yale and all these places after the 1920s when it became the policy. They even asked you on the question, one of the questions on your application was, have you changed your name?
The 1920?
Yeah, from in the 1920s.
And what about now?
Yeah, well, no, they were still having it now. So now
they... Now, you know, they...
They mentioned which colleges have that on their application because there were too many Jews, and they stopped doing it. I mean, they only now, it's still first being addressed right now. They admitted their misdeeds.
Okay.
Things, how they were...
Well, right now there's another problem. In the Ivy League colleges, there's something called white privilege. White privilege and yichus. Today in the Ivy League colleges, if your father, let's say you want to go to Harvard Medical School, if your parents are doctors, then that's a strike against you. Then no, if your parent was a doctor, you think that is an entitlement, that if your father and your grandfather were doctors, so that means that we're gonna accept your application? No, we're only taking students whose parents and grandparents were plumbers, were laborers. That's it's a strike against you if you have good yichus. Number two, if you're white, that's a problem. Because you think because you're white, you're entitled? White privilege?
No, but they said that is, it still was the makeup of the population. They still was geared towards taking mostly whites. But
it was.
Instead of Jews, they took some Southerners to make a bet. But
one thing is for sure, merit.
They were interested in where, you know, if you changed your name. So they wanted to know your real name. And that way they would know if you were Jewish.
Merit doesn't count for nothing. This is a very big korban in America. Merit has gone down the drain.
Good article.
Yadus is all about merit. Yadus is about schar v'oynish. Schar v'oynish translated in one word, merit. And it's a chaval that in this country, merit is out the window. Merit is all about, it's all about race and politics and all this other narish kind.
Should it just be yichus?
What?
Should it be yichus?
Okay, it shouldn't be, it's not, it's okay, it's true, but.
It should be a meritocracy.
Just because your father went to Yale doesn't mean you get into Yale.
Yeah, but in the Torah there's something called yichus. Yichus, we have to listen, yichus is a certain pride. There's a certain pride in yichus. That you have to do studies if it's of a person's father and grandfather were doctors. That you want to, and you want to be a doctor. How much does that encourage you to be a better doctor, to preserve the Messiah? I don't know. You have to do studies, or does that mean you're corrupt? You're just going to fall back? Oh, my grandfather is a doctor.
There's a less of a chance that you're just doing it for the money.
You're doing it because you want to, this is what the family does. There is something to yichus. Look, in Klal Yisrael, Yadus, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, there is something valuable about yichus. Not just in the Kabbalistic world. There is a virtue of yichus, which is encouraging, which is beneficial. Okay, this is another topic. But in any event, over here it says we're going through Golus. Rashi here is very beautiful, giving us so many pirushim, and okay, now let's go back to the other interpretation. Mechitza shel anoshim. Basoch means a mechitza. Rashi over here telling us that when we go in Golus, numbers stick together. It's basoch edadeim. Have a mechitza shel anoshim hurdle. All gather together and walk together in Golus. It's not a good idea in Golus. You have one Jew here, one Jew here, one Jew there. When Jews are scattered all over the place in small pockets, then you're vulnerable to be affected, to assimilate, to be weak. If you all stick together, you become a mechitza shel anoshim, a barrier where society, where the goyim, the influence of the secular society, will not penetrate and damage your kihila. And that has been definitely very true in certain communities, certainly by the Hasidim. What? That's another interpretation.
No, it got
to go together. It has to go together. Right. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim
chayim. Travel together.
Travel together. These two words are explosive words. They're just, who would ever imagine dealing with a mizmah that's dealing with Golus, and he telling we're traveling.
I have a question. I don't understand. Okay. There are two psukim. Dalet. Aitali dimati lechem yomam v'layla. Ve'emor elai kol hayom aye Elohecha. Two things. I remember that I was crying yomam v'layla, and I remember what people said to me. Aye Elohecha.
Now remember, this is saying, this
and
is
the Ele eskera v'eshmi. Ele eskera what? The previous one? What we talking? Or the following?
The following. That's what Rashi, that's what the Mitzvah David said very clearly. Esker is going back on the next words.
No.
Eles is going on the is going on the next words. Ele is going forward. Ele is, the following I remember and it causes me grief. What causes me grief? I remember Aliyah L'Regel. I remember the good old days of Aliyah L'Regel.
Okay.
Ele, but over here it's hinting to and it's giving you an incredible message. At least Rashi is giving us so many perushim for the word basoch and the word edadein. And each one of these perushim, in and of itself, and putting them together, matching them up, is teaching you a yesoid of how to conduct yourself in Golus. And obviously, you can't generalize. Okay, Golus, every country is different. Every era in history is different. The way we conduct ourselves today in Tavshin Pei Gimel is not the way we conducted ourselves 10 years ago, and it's not the way we conducted ourselves 50 years ago, and it's not the way you conduct yourself necessarily in other countries of the world. Every situation in every country, every time period is unique. But yet, in these two words, Basoch Edadeim, which are very difficult words to translate, Rashi provides us a whole collection of words, and in each word by itself, and certainly when you combine the two together, provides a new insight of dealing with the world during this period of when we are called Evor Ad Beis Elokim, when we travel in time as a nation waiting to come to the Beis Elokim, the times of Yemos HaMashiach.
That was, David is talking, Beis Elokim didn't exist yet. And he's talking as if...
It's prophecy. It's prophecy. That's why we learn it. These are words of prophecy. Let's see how the Targum translates this. The Targum, look at Targum Pasuk Hey, Elaine Nisaya, Anodikir, the following journeys I remember. The Eshoid is like a waterfall. Like a waterfall. I pour out, Olai Ra Yoinei Nafshi, the thoughts of my heart. Okay, so the Eshbecha is like a waterfall. Alai nafshi, and he adds a word here into the pasuk. The Targum is a very important word. I pour out the rayonei, the machshavos of my neshama. My neshama pours. That doesn't mean my neshama pours out. I have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of ideas that I recall when I think when I recall the following kad when avir techois telola. Now when I walk underneath the shade, the tzel le vil choydai, alone. By myself. So this, Rav Kalman, I think you pointed this out. You alluded to this. He learns none of the above. None of the above of what Rashi says. Rashi, the word adademid, it would appear to mean you're traveling along slowly with someone else. The mother is just taking her child, she's walking with the child. You're tottering. You're going slowly with other people. He learns the word edadem of all alone. What would be the shorish of the word? What would be the shorish of the word edadeim? Like, I don't know. I don't know how that word translates to one. But he says over here very clearly, levil choydai, all alone. And that's another message. Another message is that when we're in galus, we're really all alone. We really have no friends. So many times we think that we have friends, and you know, there's always going to be someone there that has our back. When someone tells you, I got your back, you know what that means. He's going to stab us in the back. Stab you in the back, right? That's what it means. Talk is cheap. Let's see where you know where the money is. It means over here, it's another very, very painful message about Golus. When we are Evor Ades Elokim, we're all alone. The only one that we can find shelter in is Basach, the shelter of Hashem. And in that shelter of Hashem, don't forget, Edadeim, I'm all alone. The Jewish people, Am Levodod, maybe that's what we call Levodod. Two Dalits. Two Dalits. Vodod. Maybe that's where it comes from. Edadeim Levodod, Am Levodod Yishkoin. And Yishkoin, we dwell all alone at Beis Elokim until we come to the Beis Elokim. So again, the time over here is giving us another interpretation of what this means. All right. Anything else over here? Okay. Let me just see before tomorrow we're gonna go further. Let me just see if there's anything over here. And Mefarshim. Okay, the Radak pretty much, we covered what it says over here. Look at the Rid. One more parish of the Rid. Just see how he says the word in the Lashon of Soch. Pasuk Hey, on page 383. It's smack in the middle of the page. The parish of Rid. Pasuk Hey, Eila Eskro Ki Evor Basoch Soch Hu Minyan. It means a number. It means a calculation. Okay, he's working with that interpretation as well. Okay, that's just recalling. And let's see over here the Chumash Anoch, one Chumash Anoch, Pasuk Gimel Tavav. Some Nafshil Elokim Lekel Choy Mosei Avoy Vezehu. Al hanogel li lovei leirois pnei hakim, avol godol moitzari, yoiser v'yoiser al chil shmoi hagodol, v'zehu sh'omar, hoyseli dim osi lechem yoimam v'layla be'emor elai kol yom yelokecha, v'do oko demo, and on this do I cry, al chil Hashem chvoid shmo hagodol v'simo, hoychili lelokim. Look, the thing over here is, similar to what we said yesterday, is that he's taking over here the Chumash Nach, there are two psukim, Pasuk Gimel, and Dalet. Gimel and Dalet, Gimel is our personal problems. Dalet is the Chilul Hashem, Hashem's problems. When there is Golis, there are two issues. We as individuals and as a nation, we have problems. But Golis also is the Chilul Hashem. So which of these two issues is more important to us? So I think most of would say, our problems. Hashem, take care of yourself, right? Hashem, you can take care of yourself. How am I going to survive in Golus? So David says just the opposite. Put aside your issues and focus on Hashem. During the time of Golus, Soma Nafshi, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty for some spirituality. Nafshi lelukim lukelchoy. Mosei avay ve'ere pnei lukim. You know, we're in Golis. You know, Golis is not fun. But you know something? That's only being thirsty. But you know what really bothers me to the degree where I cry and I feel and I suffer? That's the chilul Hashem. You're suffering, Hashem. Hoysali dimasi, but tears represent not just thirst. You can be thirsty, so know you're thirsty. So wait a couple of minutes. So wait until you get home, you'll get to take a drink. But to cry, that is a revelation of pain. And that pain, hoysali dimasi lechem yom olayla, what? The chilul Hashem. When the goyim say to the Jewish people, where's God? There is no God. Chilul Hashem. That is primary. That is something which causes me, I lose sleep over this. This is which causes me, Chaysali Demasi Lechem Yom Avalayla Be'emaralai. When the Goyim say to me, Kol Ayoyim, Ayelo Kecha. So it's a beautiful Chaymas Mech, similar to what we said yesterday about the Ayelah. The Ayelah is crying for two reasons. Mm-hmm. It's pregnant, it needs to give birth, it's personal tsar, and then there's no water for everyone. So what does it do? It abandons its own pain and prays for the klal. Same exact idea in the Chumash Hanach from these two psukim, the tzoma nafshi. Okay, you're thirsty. You're thirsty, you can deal with it. But if you're crying, that is an indication of something very, very deep. And that, and we match up being thirsty for your own personal needs, but crying bitter tears for Hashem's pain. And teaching you a lesson that a person should look outside of himself, focus on others, focus on the tsar of the Shechina, which really represents the tsar of Klal Yisrael, and not only focus on yourself. Tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, will go forward into the next Pasik, Vav.
Big birthday today. It's your friend Gadol, the Hazayin Eish.